You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
I've been itching to get back, man. It's 7:02. 7:02 p.m. on the East Coast, and we are in the month of September, yo. We were last Thursday, but it is really September. It's like September 5th or something. It's the 6th. And when it comes to September, I want all the humidity gone. I want the heat gone. I want foliage. I want typo negative. I want horror films. I just want spookiness. I want coziness. I want browns and reds and oranges and yellows and crunchy, crisp feelings. That's what I want, God damn it. Let the girls have their pumpkin shit. Let the guys have their, I don't know, what do we have? I feel like girls have everything guys have now. See, like, we don't have anything anymore. God damn it. In either case, I felt like this extended weekend was like three Sundays in a row. Anybody else feel that? I felt like it was three Sundays. Saturday felt like Sunday. Sunday felt like Sunday. Monday felt like Sunday. And then this feels like, it kind of felt like Monday. I don't know. It took me for a loop. But in either case, it was a pretty good weekend. I watched a lot of good documentaries, hung out, did a lot of chilling. A lot of chilling, because we have a lot of work still to be done, so I really relish the chill weekends. Let's see who's in the chat room, then we'll talk about what's going on tonight. Moonlit Matt, Nikki, Anonymous, which is me, it says, Jenny Lee, Murr, what's going on, Murr? I know who Murr is now. Hello, Murr, and hello, Mrs. Murr. And to everybody else that's watching but not in the chat room, please join us. Going to be on the show with us in about 10 minutes, Dr. Lisa Stroman. Now, tonight, I got a lot of shit to rant about. But after Dr. Lisa is off with us, okay? What do we have? I have a couple of thoughts about Star Wars. Some Star Wars things that just, I can't hold it in anymore with the internet. Got some Election Day thoughts that I want to actually tidy up a little bit more, things that we were talking about on Friday, an episode that I released a little bit late because I just had to do a little bit of tweaking to it. On days that I do not like editing the show down, but on day, and I'll never ever take things out that I, you know, that I've said that I don't want to stand by, because either I said something wrong and I have to put it back together for you or something else. But what I cannot stand for in this show is blank spaces and humming and hawing and stammering, stuttering, nonsensical fillers. It was terrible. Some things were just terrible. I edited that show down to like a 38-minute episode. I think it was only 43 to begin with, but Friday's episode went up on late Saturday or Sunday, and there were some things I said in there that I really wanted to articulate, and I got some notes together to guide me through this one. But we got that, and I got a bunch of articles. We have a couple here that we didn't talk about yet, about Obama and George Soros and the internet. What's about to happen with the internet in October. Obama saying the internet cannot be like the wild, wild west. Well, why the fuck not? Researchers confront an epidemic of loneliness. You don't say. We're shamed when we talk. We know, nobody wants to look at each other in the eye anymore. I'm going to be able to tie together this epidemic of loneliness, which is actually starts off pretty sad because it talks about like lonely elderly people. But I could tie that in, this epidemic of loneliness, in with the robot sex articles that we've been covering over the last year and a half that keep coming out with increasing frequency. Because I'm telling you, what's going on college campuses, which we're going to get around to that too. Okay, Cal State. Cal State offers segregated housing for black students. That's not the only one. I think UConn has done it. I think one or two others. So we're looking at taking ourselves, we're talking about taking race relations and society back at least five decades and reinstituting segregation. Only this time, it's not because of a majority. Imagine this. It's not because a majority, which, you know, it wasn't a majority. Well, actually, it is. It was because you talk about the population of blacks to whites. Obviously, there's even if I would say that there's at least more racist whites than there were blacks altogether. Just simple numbers. But in either case, if you take all of that, you think about segregation in the, you know, leading up to the 1960s being something that was enforced by government, but a majority that thought it was better for minorities to stay white. Now, there were people in the in minority classes that agreed that segregation is a good thing. You know, there is that too. So there are people on all sides that was weird, you know, very weird. But now it's a minority that's clamoring to protect itself from a majority. And they're instituting laws that they fought that they didn't do shit. They were born generations after people who actually had to do something and fight for something, did something, and fought for something. But they want to be protected from a majority now. And they're instituting law practices that people they believe that they align with historically fought to get rid of, to actually level the playing field and just allow the content of people's characters to shine through. But no, we have very quickly swam back to the shallow end of the pool, as I like to say. We are swimming in the shallow end of the pool. So all that comes together. But Dr. Lisa Stroman is our guest for the evening. I'm just going to read from her bio. Dr. Lisa Stroman is the founder and director of the Technology Wellness Center, one of the first organizations to address the global issue of technology addiction and overuse. As licensed clinical psychologist, Dr. Stroman has spent more than a decade working with individual, family, and adolescent clients struggling with issues including depression, anxiety, and addiction. Maybe she could take me on as one of her clients. I'm going to ask her straight up, put her on the spot. Recognizing the growing challenges parents now face with their children and the increasingly serious issues her young patients are dealing with due to our growing dependency on technology, inspired Dr. Stroman to launch the Technology Wellness Center, which she co-founded with Dr. Melissa Westendorf in a PhD in 2014. Now, here is why she's coming on tonight, though. We can ask her any question we come up with, but here is something that her publicist sent to me. This is how I got caught on. They said, "Hey, Frank, did you know that a child can be named a sex offender by simply receiving a text message?" Actually, we did, because we were talking about an incident, I believe, in the Carolinas or something. It was an East Coast state about a year or two ago. We're going to get into it. That's why I leapt at this. Many teens and parents are unaware that the moment they receive... Oh, by the way, I was just about to burp. And I held it back, and it reminded me of all of the inability of Hillary Clinton to speak because of how much hacking and coughing and choking that she's doing that is now being covered up by the media saying that it's pollen. She can't breathe, speak, think, stand on her own, and it's all pollen. And people are, oh, God, we're going to have a good show tonight if we have enough time, and if not, tomorrow. Let's see. A text containing an explicit photo or message. Okay, many teens and parents are unaware that the moment they receive a sext, If the text message is opened, they are officially consuming child pornography. If they send it to a friend, the charge rises. These are felony accounts, and the label sex offender can stay with them for the rest of their lives. Dr. Lisa Stroman, clinical psychologist and founder of the Technology Wellness Center, has been working with middle schools and high schools throughout the country to try to manage this rapidly growing issue and help educate teachers and parents. Here's a recent sexting incident, and it's one that was very, very familiar to the one that we were talking about on air not too long ago. Recently, Dr. Stroman worked with a school where 30% of the kids in a school of 800 were suspended. That's 12 and 13-year-olds, when a sext was spread to multiple students. What's 30% of 800? You guys do the math. Then, the safety resource officer interviewed each child, issued them a juvenile Miranda rights, which allowed children the option not to call their parents, which, of course, they all chose. The children self-incriminate, which then allowed him to submit legal complaints. These children are now facing serious legal ramifications, many of whom were already sent to jail. Dr. Stroman has released an online program called the Digital Citizens Academy, which are used to educate parents, teachers, and teams to stop this from happening. Schools in Arizona have agreed to begin using her academy, mandating students must pass online exams on tech safety in order to bring their cell phones to school. See, now this is a really interesting thing, because I remember a child, and I'm going to bring this up in about a minute. We're going to call her in about 45 seconds. A child being charged with child pornography with a picture that they took of themselves. Because remember, we're in this murky area of minors sending pictures to minors. You know? It's just... I don't know what to say. It's just so... It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. What a freak show. What a freak show. Thank God for this. Thank God we have educated professionals that are going to help us out. The call with Dr. Lisa just failed. So we're going to try it again, and then we'll see what else happens. It failed again. So it's just you and me, guys. Welcome. All right, so we're going to try here in a couple more seconds. She could be having some tech problems, or maybe her Skype is not on. So start drinking once she calls in, because she doesn't have her Skype on. But let's move on to something a little bit more... a little bit off the beaten path, and we'll get around to that. Here's the first one I want to get around to. I thought this was funny enough to start off with. Frumpy Lena Dunham. There you go. There's Frumpy right there. There she is. She's like a fucked up Cabbage Patch doll that has weight issues and really, you know, she just eats pizza all day. So Frumpy, who I'm not afraid of anybody coming after me for calling her Frumpy. Frumpy gets slammed on Twitter after a years-old anti-Asian slur. Okay, so in 2011, Frumpy Dunham says, an uncool thought to have, and she's talking about herself, and she quotes herself, is that guy walking in the dark behind me a rapist? Oh, never mind, he's Asian. And people were very, very upset about this. Here are some of the tweets in response to her. Is that guy walking in the... This is from Matt Provenzano. Is that guy walking in the dark behind me in girls? Oh, never mind. He's Asian. Here is from a person named McLeams. Wow, Lena, way to deny Asian men's agency. Stephen Walsh says, Joker voice, and I thought my tweets were bad. Lena, you don't have to share everything you know, Hal Walker says. Julian Devereaux says, well, that is an uncool though a thought to have on account of its being racist and all. Although when I thought about it, it's like, is it really racist to say that you wouldn't suspect an Asian of being a rapist? You know, I think that when people see somebody just mention somebody's nationality, they go crazy. For example, Harambe. Guys, this meme of Harambe the gorilla that has been touching all of our lives in the most sincere of ways. Listen to this shit. Where the hell is it? UMass. This is from Reason.com, and then we're going to try Lisa Stroman again. UMass Amherst. Okay? Harambe jokes are racist microaggressions and violate Title IX. I'm just going to read this for a second. Poor Harambe, the gorilla murdered at the Cincinnati Zoo after a child wandered into its enclosure, has now essentially suffered a second equally odious death. This time at the hands of humorless, I'm glad that Reason used the word humorless, University of Massachusetts residential advisors who told students to stop making Harambe jokes. These jokes, quote, are not only derogatory, but also microaggressions. Toward who? Gorillas? You... Two RAs wrote in a letter to the UMass Amherst students who live on their floor. Failure to desist would even be a violation of Title IX, they suggested. Because, of course, everybody is just a law aficionado. Isn't it great how people can walk out there and just have their cause and then be able to cite law? Do you know this is a violation? You violation of code? Shut the fuck up! But I'm glad they said humorless, because I don't need another paragraph out of this article to know what the hell's going on. This Harambe joke, which has actually caught my attention for being just really well-timed and awesome and random and deep and awesome. Okay, as well as it is being somewhat tasteless in some senses, but I don't care. Jokes should be tasteless, okay? It's a matter of taste and a matter of law. That's it. When you're balancing out two things, you say, is it a matter of taste or is it a matter of law? Okay, that's what we learned from The People versus Larry Flint and Penthouse. Taste or law? If it's not a matter of law, then suck it the fuck up. So, they say humorless because after the months that we have gone through this Harambe situation and months that the internet culture and meme culture and all this stuff has picked up on it and thrown it downhill like a brilliant snowball. Brilliant snowball. Oh, what a snowball this was. It was like an 800-pound snowball. It was fantastic. And the only thing I can come up with is that if it took this long, all these months later, to say, it's racist, it's really just because the same amoeba-bodied, frumpy, Lena Dunham types, the same busybody, looking over their shoulder, patrolling, hall monitor types, the same type of sick lunatics, social justice fanatics, who look around at everything through these snot-colored lenses and that they see the world through. They said, you know what? I don't like that these people over here are having fun. That is all it is, everybody. That's all it is. At this point, it is people who've got this chip on their shoulder. Chip, it's like a gorge. It's terrible. These people with canyons on their shoulders are walking around, and at this point, they don't even give a shit what they rail against. They lump everything into their narrative, and if you are simply just having fun, because obviously they are not, they're living in psychosis world, where everything is racist, everything is sexist, everything needs to have a hashtag, they're completely deluded, delusional. They see people having fun, and they can't stomach it. That is all it is, ladies and gentlemen. Look no further for an explanation. They cannot stand to see people having fun. They will make it into something that they can go in and pop birthday balloons and fart on your chocolate cake and kick your brother in the balls. That's it. They want to put their cigarettes out on your arm. That's what they want. That's all they want, these little fucks, and it's over for them. You push back against Harambe? Oh, man. I hope that UMass Amherst does the right thing. The right thing to do at UMass Amherst is to have Harambe show up all over the place. All over the place. I hope that agent provocateurs from off campus go on to campus, not to start riots. Like the George Soros types and Black Lives Matter do. Don't start the riots. go in slipping through the cover of night and just paper mache that place until it looks like just one big gorilla. And then the other thing you have to ask yourself is, aside from, we know the real reason, why is it? We know that you don't like when people have fun, but are you really saying it's racist because the subject of this meme was a gorilla with a very African-sounding name? Are you projecting something onto the gorilla that nobody else has? Is that what you're doing? Because if you are, you should probably go seek help from a counselor, because you, my friend, are racist. You, my friend, are racist. So, you just take yourself off and leave everybody else alone. To go right off into the sunset, find a cave somewhere in a mountain to leave the rest of civilization alone. Let me see if Dr. Lisa is on again. We'll give her another call. And the call failed. So we're going to keep going. It's 7:22. Who else is in the chat room now? Rumble and Roar. What's going on there, Rumble? A few other people here. Johnny Room says, remember that Zoomass Amherst is where Trigglypuff appeared. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, God. That's right. And she's probably still enrolled there. She's probably still enrolled. She's probably like at the tip of the anti-Harambe spear now, Trigglypuff. The only person on campus that actually weighs more than a fully grown gorilla. Man, oh man, is this stuff just gets better and better. Let's see what else is going on. I want to bring up the Harambe joke. Oh, you want to talk about something else where they start going crazy. I don't have it here. But those same Black Lives Matter types, especially the ones in the UK, are talking about, are now making the claim that climate change is racist. Because many of the countries that feel the effect of climate change are sub-Saharan countries in Africa. So climate change is racist, even though that points to geographical impacts, which I guess might have racial impacts. You see, that's the thing. Here's the thing. Even though we can go on, I want to get somebody on to talk about climate change one night, because I am more than a skeptic, but I haven't from and I've done a lot of reading, pro and against. All that stuff. I've done a lot of reading, but I just don't feel I'm articulate enough to actually form a good broadcast. So I definitely want to find people. I would love to find two scientists, two people that work within the sciences that can go face off together, and I can just kind of like moderate this discussion and ask questions from the audience and all that stuff, and we can all just get through this together. But aside from that, when you look at this stuff, that they say, well, it's racist. It's racist. It's racist. It's usually racial impacts. And that begs a completely different question. For example, you want to say that climate change is racist? Go ahead and say that climate change is racist. Whatever. I'm not going to talk about that now. It's stupid enough. But look to no further than New York City. A lot of the indecency laws that were put in place in the 90s, especially by Rudy Giuliani, with the really cracked down and cleaned up New York City and set social standards. Standards. Okay? Standards. Now, I know a lot of people have problems with things like stop and frisk. Even I did. We know that there was quotas. We know people came out and said that, you know, obviously minorities were unfairly targeted with all the quotas and the stop and frisk and all that. But in New York City, we had also things like, and this was something that was recently rolled back by the commie, Bill de Blasio, the public urination. Public urination laws. Those were rolled back because they were said to be racist. But when you really look at it, because most of the people that were being stopped, ticketed, fined, arrested for public urination, even in places as open as Times Square, Okay, we're not talking about people hiding behind trees in Central Park trying to relieve themselves where there's no bathrooms. Okay, I've even been given a citation for public urination a couple of years ago. I actually had to pull into the campus of, I was in New Rochelle coming back from a house party at Derek's house, actually, our bassist in the band. And I pulled into Salesian High School because I just could, Anthony was in the car with me. I could not wait. I was going to pee all over the place. Okay? If there was a way to, forget it. In either case, I pulled into Salesian and I pulled into their driveway. I looked around. Nobody was there. I went like 25 yards into the property behind a bush, pissing. All of a sudden, a spotlight falls on me. Okay, that was just dumb luck. All right? But in either case, this was rolled back because it was racist. But what it really was doing was it had racial impacts. Which brings up another question. Why is it that most of the people that are being arrested for public urination and indecency laws are what people would say people of color these days? That's the fashionable term. Spanish, black, what have you, Middle Eastern. Why is that? And how is that law, and how is allowing people to pee all over the place in public? How is that supposed to ease racial tensions? So you're trying to ease racial tensions where there's not even any racial tensions, coming from that. But you're just trying to look. You're just looking for things to diagnose and cure. But at the same time, you're lowering standards. And I love when people say, "Oh, the soft oppression of low expectations," and that's exactly what it is. The soft oppression of low expectations. And we've talked about this before when we talked about standards and expectations and all that in society. How far do you go before you're just living in a wasteland? Living in a wasteland for political reasons. Because the people at the top are willing to sacrifice the standard of living, the people on the streets, because, of course, they're in their mansions. They're in their walled-off, gated, very, very secure properties. Their kids are not going to public schools with our kids. Their kids are not going to be anywhere near any of these neighborhoods. None of that stuff. They want to loosen restraints on policing. They want to reform policing, federalize policing. They want to get rid of, people are saying, we want to get rid of the police. We want to disarm the police. But they forget about things. They forget about things like, this is from the National Review. I had this saved a couple days ago, but we didn't get around to it. But stream of consciousness, here we are. There's a need for it. People who live in high crime areas ask the cops to enforce no loitering policies. What should the police do when their constituents beg them to maintain order? Ignore them? It's starting to dawn on at least some members of the press that law-abiding residents of inner-city areas desperately want the police to maintain order in their neighborhoods. "Please help me," a gas station owner in West Baltimore begged his local police commander during a recent police community meeting attended by a Washington Post reporter. The gas station's parking lot had been overrun with loiterers and had been the site of a fatal gang shooting. Following the Justice Department, report that accused the Baltimore Police Department of racism. The Justice Department had singled out for a particular... let me see here. The Justice Department has singled out in particular the police practice of trying to, quote, clear corners, end quote, of loiterers and trespassers in high crime areas. Such loitering enforcement merely oppresses minority communities, according to the federal lawyers. Black Lives Matter activists, academics, and the press have leveled that the same charge repeatedly have leveled the same charge repeatedly over the last 2 years. See, for instance, an op-ed entitled "Romanticizing Broken Windows Policing" by New York Times. These critics have claimed that corner clearing and other forms of so-called broken windows policing are invidiously intended to control, quote, control African-American in poor communities, in the words of Columbia Law professor Bernard Harcourt. This critique of public order enforcement ignores a fundamental truth. It's the people who live in high-crime areas who petition for corner clearing. The police are simply obeying their will. And when the police back off of such an order, such order maintenance strategies under the accusation of racism, it's the law-abiding poor who pay the price. The Post reporter, to his credit, accurately captured the demands of the vulnerable residents. Here's a quote from the Post. The 40 or so longtime residents who gathered in the West Baltimore church basement on this August night, many of whom were older black women afraid to walk to the store or leave their homes at night, had come to urge police to clear the corners of miscreants and restore order to their crime-plagued community. It goes on and on. You can check it out. It's National Review. Now, what about that? You see, we're not in the job, the business of balanced arguments anymore. We're not, and like we said before, how many times we have to say it, we're not in the business of actually making amends, reconciling our differences, taking responsibility for our part of the problem, as well as making sure that our apparent opponent in the situation or the person on the other side of the table takes responsibility for theirs. We're not in that business. We're in the business of stoking the flames of this cultural Marxist regime and doing their will, okay? The Obama group that is going, it's going to be all Hillary too. You can be very, very confident on what she's going to do when she gets into office. She's a Marxist through and through. She's an Alinskyite, 100%. They all are. 100%. No ifs, ands, or buts about what this woman is going to do and what is going to continue to happen on the streets. And the one thing that they have to erode are the borders, and they have to erode the idea of national identity, and they have to erode the culture. That includes the relations of people on the streets. It all has to be eroded. It has to be washed away. We need to have a growing victim class, because if you do that, then goddamn, so easy. All this stuff is so easy. So easy to see. Let me see. Dr. Lisa is still not on. But you know who called us? Mr. Jimmy. Chem Quiz. Let's give him a call.
To erode are the borders.
Hey, what's going on, Jimmy? Jimmy, you there? Jimmy?
Try this one more.
Yep, try one more time. Last time Jimmy called, we had a little bit of a problem too, so we'll see where that goes. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, man. So far, so good. So what's on your mind?
Sweet. I just had a quick thought about the Harambe thing being racist.
Yeah.
I think I figured it out. So they're not calling anybody gorillas. The thing that's racist is the whipping the dicks out. I mean, these are all probably upper class white dudes that are just ashamed of what they have downstairs. So when people are like, hey, dicks out for Harambe, they're just all ashamed of themselves. Like, oh my God, I feel microaggressed.
Yeah, but I can see the microaggress because you can say, oh, it's a patriarchal assault of penises. There's just dicks everywhere. But I can understand that point of view. But where does the racism come from? You can't say that a cock makes something racist. It has to be having something to do with Harambe's name, the natural habitat of gorillas. I don't know. It has to be something like that.
No, but you kind of can though, because I mean, if you think about, I don't know how it is where you live, but usually non.
Hold on.
This isn't a very diverse college.
Hold on, Jimmy. You broke up there. You said usually, and uh-huh. Then from there you went off. So how about usually?
Like, non-white penises are considered to be larger than, since it's in Massachusetts, UMass isn't the most diverse school in the world.
Yeah.
So by telling a bunch of white dudes to whip their dicks out, they feel aggressed because of their race because they can't compare to everybody else.
Okay, so now if I was the lawyer, if I was the lawyer for Dicks Out for Harambe, which I would definitely, I would love to be more like a John Stone, you know, the night of. Anybody else see HBO's The Night of? Jimmy, have you watched it yet?
I haven't,
dude.
I'm working.
If you don't have HBO, ask one of your buddies for an HBO Go password for a couple of days and watch The Night of. It's amazing. Well, in either case, I would love to be the lawyer for the Dicks Out for Harambe situation. I may not have been the biggest person to spread the meme, but I am a distant observer. I'm an appreciator of it all. And I would say that you can't say that that is racist either, because I would have to say that it was a showing of solidarity. This Dicks Out for Harambe was an across-the-board, worldwide calling of solidarity. Everybody, no matter what your color is, take your dick out for this gorilla.
That's a good point.
It's been nothing but a showing of solidarity for me. I would be able to defeat that in court 100%, I believe.
So 90% of what these buffoons say can be defeated in court with two sentences, too. It's just how they're feeling in that particular moment.
How are you feeling in this particular moment? Well, I feel bored and nobody else is listening to me, and I can't stand that these kids are having fun, and you know what? I want to mess it up.
Yep. You're spot on.
Dude, no, I love your analysis. We need to poke holes in this stuff, man, and your ideas were... This is good. This is what we need. We need to test every line of logic on this one. I just don't know anymore. Just doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense. What kind of a world do we live in where people can't take out their dicks without it being called racist anymore? That usually just make you a creep. I can't believe that they, like you said before, you know, microaggression. I can't believe that they chose racism over something that it's a little bit more of, you know, sexual assault or harassment or, you know, rape triggering or any kind of trigger. It's odd.
Sexual harassment, super easy to argue, especially. I don't know,
dude. If you and I were the if we were the Johnny Cochran and. Mr. Who's the other defendants of OJ? You had Cochran, you had Shapiro.
Let me look it up.
Yeah, I think it was Cochran and Shapiro. If we were Cochran and Shapiro, we would have a lot harder time defending against the sexual harassment microaggression of Harambe thing than we would anything else.
I'm still astounded they didn't go with that, but there is no logic to these people's.
Who is it? Did you find out the defense?
I'm looking for it. Author of American Tragedy. I'm finding. That was a guy that wrote a book on his defendant.
OJ defense team. Let's see here. It's a dream team. Here we go. We have – where are they? Marsha Clark, I remember she was the prosecutor. Moment which froze much of the nation. She scared me. She was really scary. Kardashian. So you had
Cochran and
– yeah, and Oh, I remember Cato Kaelin. Cato Kaelin was so weird to me. He was just so odd, and then he made that appearance in basketball years later. Where's Shapiro? I thought there was a Shapiro. Yeah, Robert Shapiro.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And then... That's it. All right, man.
I thought I missed.
I don't know. Hey, Jimmy, thank you for the call, brother. I'm actually going to take a really quick break before I get to the last half. Dr. Lisa Stroman is still not on, so hopefully I can get her re-squared away. Before I go on this really quick break, I did something I got a nice plug sheet made here, so I don't forget anything. Number one, guys and girls, if you, I heard that actually one of the things for all the microaggression training that's going on with college freshmen, you guys, is one of those things that should be avoided because it excludes, it doesn't include, it's not inclusive to women. So, if you guys like this, some important announcements for you guys. If you like the show, please share it with people, okay? Friends, family, enemies, anybody you think would enjoy it, that would be amazing. The Quite Frankly podcast is listed on all major platforms, even if you listen live every night. Do me a solid and head to iTunes, search for Quite Frankly, subscribe, and leave some stars for me and a review. I shit you not, guys, that 45 seconds it takes to click a couple of stars and write a review, it does so much. In the month of April, I think last year, April 2015 or something like that, we were in the new and noteworthy section. No. It was a lot later than that. It was probably fall of last year. We were in the new and noteworthy section on iTunes for almost 7 weeks in the top 10 overall, not just in news and politics. So please head on over there and check it out. And if you don't have iTunes, then search Quite Frankly on SoundCloud, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and whatever else gets you really, really hot. Other than that, for those of you who really enjoy the show, please become a patron. The recent moves by Google to demonetize free speech is only the first of many pro-censorship actions that will be taken in the future. $1, $5, $10, or the $17.76 a month is a free market solution to being able to fund the future growth of this show, free speech in general, and all the good things that make us go, There are only 20 spots for the $17.76 monthly contribution, and I really want to get all those filled up. In fact, I'm starting to write my letters tonight for the first five people who have pledged to $17.76. I can't wait to mail them out to you guys. So we got that. That's going out. And also big thank yous to Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Varis, Matt Smith, Sean Collins, Christian Pepis, Maxian Caparato, Mad Mints. Those are my patrons right now, and I work for these people. I'm very proud to work for you guys and girls. Thank you so much for being friends. And also, one last thing before we go on break. If you have an idea for content on ZenLive.tv, let us know. Man on the street bits, investigative journalism, opinion pieces for the ZenLive.tv blog, or the pitching of new weekly, bi-weekly, monthly segments on a specialty topic of your choosing, whether it be astronomy, like Max and Caparato, futurism, conspiracy, Fukushima, an impending alien invasion, whatever the fuck it is, it doesn't matter. Contact me, frank@zenlive.tv, and yeah. All right, guys, we'll be right back to put this one to bed.
Zenlive.tv! Independent music, alternative news, the underground and the underrated.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware.
Let's talk about something a little bit cooler, a little bit more happy. If you're home tonight and you're looking for something to start and you haven't watched it already, there is a CNN Presents series on Netflix. It was produced by one of three people, one of them being Tom Hanks. I forgot who the other two were. But guys and gals, so good. The 60s. So far, very, very good. Lauren and I watched the first episode, which is the coming of age with television. Oh, I could watch television history. You know how we talk about how baseball history is pretty much American history? which I stand by. Television is another thing. It rides parallel with everything. You get to monitor. When it comes to media, sports, entertainment, all of that stuff rides on the human psyche. You start seeing a change in human values. You start seeing a change in public conversation and just ideas. Really, really awesome. I would really recommend watching the 60s. And if you're a baseball fan, I would really recommend watching a documentary on Netflix which I just watched over the weekend called Fastball, which traces you through the beginning of time in the baseball world on who threw the hardest. And also the mechanic, the history. You're going to see some great people in history, some great tidbits. I mean, it's just awesome. If you like the sport, please check that out. And when I suggest these things, it's just because I generally like them. Nobody's paying me, obviously. I don't get a free toaster if you go watch it, so go fuck yourself. Let's see, what else we have here? All right, so I'm going to save this, all this stuff I had for Dr. Lisa Stroman. Let's get on to something else. Star Wars. Here's the thing that I want to get around to election, and I have to do this. Because I was on Twitter and I was on Tumblr on over the weekend, and it's really started getting me. Because, of course, it's only a couple of days until Star Wars comes, a couple of weeks, if you really think about it, until Star Wars Rogue One comes out. And, of course, people are really, really into The Force Awakens still, and I was as well. But I've been chased away from this stuff so much more lately because of where people take it. And I've told you guys I cannot stand what the internet has done to Star Wars as far as making everybody gay. Everybody gay. And I don't care. I don't care. I mean, obviously, I don't care. We don't have any but the problem is here that there's a difference between living in a society where there are well-reasoned, well-learned, confident, you know, ambitious, industrious, free-thinking, free-associating people that live all different kinds of lives. You know, they're straight, they're gay, they don't know what gets them off, they don't know who they're attracted to, they date whoever, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about the identity stuff, the gender stuff, and people wanting to be a man but still wanting to give birth, and it turning into some weird Arnold Schwarzenegger type of shit. I don't know, very weird. I saw some stuff over the weekend that just made me heave a little bit. But it has nothing to do with that. It has more to do with when I sit back and I watch kids and young adults and full-on adults who do nothing but just demand for this to be gay, that to be gay, celebrate the gayness of this. This is just, oh, it's so gay, I love it. Everything is gay and sex and just like, you want to ask them, do you have anything else to do? That's all I come from. That is the only place that I come from on this. It has nothing to do with, you know, everybody says, oh, you know, I like to go to Mohegan Sun every once in a while and, you know, shoot craps and play blackjack. I'm a big blackjack fan. You know, I play sometimes on the week. I play poker on the weekends with my friends, and that's really just what I like. But there gets to a point where you have to pick up the phone and dial the gambling anonymous people and say, I've got a problem. I need help. That's what I'm talking about here. That's the thing that gets me here. It's not that people being gay and that human sexuality is such a deep, intricate, complex thing. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. It has more to do with the Alcoholics Anonymous. The Gay Everything Anonymous, the Make Everything Gay Anonymous people that need to go seek help quickly, very quickly. I went from following a couple of dozen Star Wars blogs on Tumblr now to having maybe about 10. because all they produce are fan art. You know, fan art with fans that just draw comic strips and stuff. All they produce and blog about is fan art that depict all the characters questioning their sexuality, or either realizing that they have a crush on any number of other characters of the same sex. Finn and, you know, they have Finn and Poe spooning in bed. Everybody, they blush, rosy cheeks. Everybody's blushing. They're just, they're just so content in each other's arms. And I'm just thinking to myself, what the fuck is happening? And then I read one piece or something that read something like, that moment when Poe wakes up from his coma and realizes he's gay. First of all, Finn is the one in a coma. See, they don't even care who's who. They need. You know, there was an article in February about J.J. Abrams saying that there will be an openly gay character or something like that. And the notes and the comments and the shares were of people just like with this, yas, yas, I'm screaming. Can you imagine having so little? Can you imagine having so, Frank, this is very, very monumental. People like to see themselves, represented in space epics. Is it a romantic space epic, or what's the point here? I don't get it. I start imagining myself, and then I start doing this thing where I start imagining myself in the theater when Star Wars finally orchestrates the forced Ellen DeGeneres moment that is going to come. Okay, J.J. Abrams or somebody in Star Wars is going to have to be responsible for orchestrating the Ellen DeGeneres moment in Star Wars, and I start thinking about, you know, what's going to happen? Is there going to be like a standing ovation in the Alamo Draft House when I finally go see this? Is there going to be like a golf clap? Is there going to be snickering? Are people going to be like, hey, stop snickering. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Two gay space characters like each other. And then when will this great reveal happen? That's the other thing I start thinking about. When are they going to finally make the characters gay? You know, is it going to be after the vanquishing of an opponent? Some male character is going to pull another male character in for a kiss or something like that? Or after the dramatic completion of a mission or something? Is Poe Dameron going to be cutting fruit or washing the dishes in his apartment at the Rebel base and have, like, Captain Burly Man walk up from behind him and pass him a dirty spoon? And Poe takes a spoon from Captain Burly Man and their fingers graze and rub up against one another. Only Poe is wearing one of those rubber dishwashing gloves. So it's like a rubber on flesh encounter. And they're like, oh, that was so hot. You know it. You know that he's gay now. They had their moment. They heard the rumor. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, not much. you were talking about Netflix documentaries.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I watched one the other night. It was a 30 for 30. You might be familiar with it. Actually, you might have been there. It's called 4 Days in October.
I'm not going to watch that shit. I already know what the hell that means. I know what that means. Go fuck yourself. 4 days.
Side note. Okay. I was trying to do that earlier, but it is actually really well done. Star Wars, gay people. There's actually a sci-fi series on the Supernatural channel, CW, called The 100.
You told me about this.
Yes, and they have been applauded for their progressiveness, so to speak. Watching it from my point of view, it has not been obnoxious. One of the girls just happens to like boys and girls. Literally, there's no moment in the, like, there's no, like, struggling with her sexuality or something. It's just, like, one time she wakes up and she's, like, in bed with a girl. And you're like, oh, she likes girls and guys. Like, it doesn't even matter in the context of anything. And to add it to Star Wars, what is one of the most hated aspects in all the movies?
Would it have been the romance between Anakin and Padme?
The most people fucking hate the romance in Star Wars. Granted, you know, Han and Leia.
But you see, Han and Leia, they were more of a strategic partnership. There was that tension there. They did love each other, but they were afraid to say it. They were so strong on their own. Princess Leia did not need Han Solo, just like Han Solo didn't need Princess Leia. There was nothing, and that's the thing about this. You're talking about the 100, and we have to get off in a minute and a half. But I'm glad you brought this up. Is just that when you establish the parameters of a narrative and you go forward and you say, this is the universe we've created and this is the type of issues they deal with, this is the way that they live, then that's it. That's your starting point. These types of social justice narratives there's no place for it in Star Wars. It was not there. To put it in now is not that it's wrong. It's just that it will be the biggest sore thumb, out of place thing. It would just ruin things. And I really hope that all of the gay science fiction fans out there who can see this and can see why it's just one of those things where there are other places that we can get this stuff done. I mean, for Christ's sake, it just doesn't make sense.
And it's funny, like, in the context of Star Wars, like, you just watch the movies. No one's race matters. No one's gender matters. Some of the strongest, most powerful people in the movies are female humans, but also they're little fucking green dudes walking around. It doesn't matter what people are or who they are or what things are.
Hey, not only that, but what do you think that the reaction of people around... Here's the other thing. You not only need to manufacture this situation where two same-sex characters have to come out to each other or have to fall in love, but you also have to manufacture the responses that all of the other characters around them have to the revelation. You have to manufacture all of this stuff, and it's just going to... It's like swimming through quicksand.
Are we going to see a Coruscant, like, Pride Parade?
Coruscant Pride. The Pride Parade, that's it, man. Well, dude, thank you so much.
When the last we'll hear of you.
Call in earlier to tomorrow's show, because I don't have any guests for tomorrow night's show. I do have a guest on Thursday night. I'm going to see what happened to Dr. Lisa Stroman.
What do you have on Thursday night, Frank?
Thursday night is actually Ashley Wilcott, okay? She is a child. Let me see here. This is something interesting. I wrote to her. She is another doctor, I believe. She's an attorney. Hold on. I got everything. She's a top legal analyst, certified child welfare law specialist, former judge, and trial attorney. They all have major network credits. But I said to them, my immediate line of questioning I would want to follow is in getting her opinion on the role of the state that plays in the life of a child, because she's talking about CPS and all that stuff, especially with education. We hear so much from people about how a child belongs to the community rather than to the parents. I would like to see what she thinks about how far the state can go to protect the interests of kids before we are all living in a tightly monitored CPS hell and children really are nothing but wards of the government. And she said that, and her publicist said that she would be very happy to talk about all that stuff. So that will be for Thursday night.
Sounds exciting.
All right, man. Well, dude, I'll talk to you as soon as I get off. And I think we're going to be live for the 9 o'clock Zarals in New York, even if that's only for like 20 minutes or so. So show up for the first 20 minutes, because that might be the only thing that there is. And thanks for the call again, Brother Johnny.
Have a good night.
Take care, man. Everybody else, thank you so much. Check out all of the live streams. You guys kick ass. I can't wait to get back on tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. And, good evening. Go fuck yourself. See you at 9. And coming up next is Broken Filter Live with Joe and Jonesy right here on ZenLive.tv. It's going to be a fun, fun quarter four.